last week, we started into a series that's going to run for about 5 weeks. And we, in this series, we are talking about the names of God and the names of Jesus and what they mean to us. Every name has a meaning, yeah? Every name has a meaning. And when we name things in our lives, or when we were given names, our parents gave us names, they meant something to us. A lot of kids are named after their parents or maybe their grandparents. But people do that because they're, want to remember their parents or grandparents, or there's just something about that child that caused them to give them that name. Every name has a meaning. And Jesus and God, throughout the Word of God, has so many names, not just one name. You know, when we say God or Jesus, well, that's not the totality of God's name. There's so much more to God. There's so much more to Jesus. Jesus alone was given more than 50 names in the New Testament. God has so many names, I can't even think of half of the names that God has. But every one of the names that God has, every one of the names that Jesus has, means something. Amen? Every name given to Jesus, it stands for something, it means something, and it has a substance and a quality that still means something to us today, those who believe in him and trust in him. I said to you last week that in my address book in my phone, I have hundreds of names in there. And if I was going to look for somebody or something, or simply just going looking for their name, most of the times I couldn't remember their name. Like, for instance, the other week we had an issue with our washing machine. Praise God, we've had a washing machine, the same washing machine for over 20 years. Glory to God. Now it's had new motors, it's had new drums, it's had new engines, it's had, praise God, it's virtually all it has is not a new front door or not a new skeleton. Or a new operator. But we had an issue with our washing machine a couple of weeks back, and it's been a few years, actually, since we've had anything done with our washing machine, so I couldn't remember the name of the guy who fixed the washing machine offhand, so I went into my phone. And I didn't put the name of the guy in there because I couldn't remember, but I put in washing machine. And his name came up. Every person, every tradesperson that we ever deal with, either here in church or whether it be at home, we have a name beside it. In a few weeks' time, praise God, we're going to get the building painted. Glory to God. And I got a phone call the other day. We were in Dublin, and my phone rang. And come up on my phone, it was Mick Painter. So straight away, I have a lot of Micks in my phone. But straight away, I knew which Mick this was. He was Mick, the painter. I have so many different names in my phone. I have names for plumbers, I have a name for electricians, and all beside their names, I have put what they do for me. Because simply, if I had just put Mick into the phone, I'd have been answering the phone the other day, and I'd been like, which Mick are you? But I knew straight away, Mick the painter. See? Perfect example. Every one of these names I've put in has a particular attribute, and they mean something to me. So if I'm looking for a plumber, I don't go looking for a painter, my phone. I just put in plumber. Like the other week, washing machine. So I put in washing machine. Amen? Do you ever wonder where people got their surnames? Now, maybe you know yourself, and maybe your surname is pretty unique. Maybe you know yourself where your surname came from. Maybe you know geographically where it came from. Maybe it's a traditional thing. I don't know. But I want to tell you where surnames actually came from. At least the ones that we know. Up until the Middle Ages, people didn't have surnames at all. Because up until the Middle Ages, people lived in small villages. And everybody knew everybody else. So nobody needed to know what somebody's second name was because you knew them. It was a small village. Most people were known by their father's name. So if it was like, that's Mary over there, Mary who's Jim's daughter. So everybody knew everybody by the family that they came from. So they didn't need surnames. And when population started to grow in these villages and people started to travel from village to village, they now had a little bit of a problem because the villages got bigger And they didn't know everybody in the village now. So they had to start giving people second names, surnames. So how did surnames, how did we come up with these surnames? There's a number of ways. One early example was to integrate the father's name into the surname. So if the father's name was John and his son's name was Michael, he became known as Michael, John's son. Get it? Yeah, this is good. This is good. You learn about the word, but you also learn about other stuff in church. Amen? So if the father's name was Stephen and they had a son called Paul, he became known as Paul Stephen's son. Amen? Everybody with me? And there's more. Other people got named for their occupation. So if William was a painter, he became known as William Plumber. Painter. All right. I'm just checking to see if he's awake. It's a bank holiday weekend. I need to make sure he's there with me, okay? If he was a plumber, and if he fixed your washing machine back in the old days, whatever kind of washing machine they had, if his name was William and he was a plumber, he became known as William Plumber. I just need to make sure everyone is with me. These are what's called occupational names. This is why we have names like Thatcher and Mason and Miller and Slater and Taylor. Do you know the most common name in England is Smith? Why? Because there was blacksmiths and there was other arrowsmiths and there was other kind of smiths. And all of these smiths became known as Smith. Yeah? Because a smith was someone who worked with metal. Anybody have cereal this morning for their breakfast? Did you have Kellogg's cereal? Cornflakes, Cocoa Pops, Rice Krispies, something like that? Well, Kellogg's name actually... Am I gone off here? I'm back on. The name Kellogg's doesn't mean cereal maker. The name Kellogg's comes from Kill Hog. The original Kellogg's were actually butchers. So next time you're eating your cereal, be glad that you're eating cereal and not, well, for me anyway, vegetarian, praise God. But the original Kellogg's were actually butchers. Other people were named for personal characteristics, like my name, for instance, Long. We got our name because we were supposedly tall people. So think about it yourself. I don't know what all your surnames are. Praise God. But your surname most likely has something to do with what your ancestors did, how they looked, or some other name. Praise God. But every name means something. Amen? And every name that we're given for God, for Jesus, means something and has something for us. Everybody in here is related in some way. We all have some sort of relation, whether it be husbands or wives or sons or daughters or brothers or sisters or cousins or friends or work colleagues or acquaintances, even strangers. That's a kind of a relationship, isn't it? And whatever kind of a relationship you have is what you bring to that other person. Like if you're my friend, I can rely on you as a friend. If I've never met you before, then I can't rely on you as a friend. You don't bring friendship into our relationship. Angela's my wife, and being my wife, she brings so much into our relationship, and vice versa. Whatever the relationship is, it brings a quality into that relationship. We're looking at the names that we are given for Jesus and what value that they bring to our lives today. We started out last week to talk about Emmanuel. And that's the power of the presence of God. Today I want to introduce you to another name of God that was manifest in Jesus, and that is Jehovah Rapha, which means the God who heals. Of all the gods, small g, I put it even in my notes, of all the gods and all of the religions in the world, no religion or no God claims to heal today, except our God. Amen? Our God is a healer. Amen? Psalms 103 in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The names of God brings benefits to those who believe in him. Do you believe in God this morning? There's benefits available to you, amen? And one of these benefits is that our God heals all of your diseases. Isaiah chapter 53, and I looked through several different versions to find the version of this that I thought would be the simplest for us to understand. In Isaiah 53, verse 4, it's from the Easy English Bible. It says, but he, being Jesus, took away all of our weaknesses. He carried all our pains for us. We thought that he was receiving punishment for his own sins. We thought that God was causing him to suffer. But it was for our sins that caused his wounds. The bad things that we had done crushed him. The punishment that he received, he brought peace to us. The wounds that he received, he made us well. In order for Jesus to become our Jehovah Rapha, he had to pay the price for all of our sins. Amen. Even though to the unbelieving observer, it looked like God was punishing Jesus for something that he had done wrong. Verse 5 tells us that, but it was for our sins. It was for my sins. It was for your sins. Amen? But it was for our sins. It was for our sins that caused his wounds. The bad things that we had done crushed him. The punishment that he received has brought us peace. The wounds that he received has made us well. It wasn't for anything that Jesus did that he was punished. It was for us. Amen? It was for us. Verse 4 tells us in the Christian Standard Bible, it says, yet he himself bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. To bear something means to carry, to take the weight of something from somebody else. Amen? So if you're coming out of Lidl someday and I happen to see you, and as you try to take your shopping out of the trolley and it's way too heavy for you to carry, and I come over along beside you and I say, hey, listen, let me carry that for you. What am I doing? I'm bearing the weight for you. I'm lifting the weight that you just can't carry. I'm lifting that weight for you. Amen? But you get all the benefit, don't you? Because you get the thing that you wanted lifted for you, taken for you. Amen? This is what Jesus, our Jehovah Rapha, did for us. We couldn't carry the weight of our sins. We couldn't pay the price for our healing. So Jesus paid the price for us. Amen? He carried the sickness for us. He himself bore our sickness and he carried our pain. Just like if you had to carry that shopping bag on your own, you can't carry it. You're there and you're trying to lift it and you're trying to drag it and you're trying to carry it. You just can't carry it. It's not physically possible for you to carry it. Amen? And God doesn't mean for you to carry it. Amen. But instead, a lot of us are going through our lives and we're trying to carry these weights that we were never meant to carry in the first place. We're there and we're like, you know, we're trying to drag this thing and haul this thing. And all Jesus is saying to you is he's coming along saying, hey, let me carry it for you. But we're going around with this weight that we just can't carry on our backs, and we're almost on our knees, crawling around on our knees, weighed down by these weights that we are not meant to carry. And Jesus is saying, here, listen, I've already borne this weight for you. I've already carried this weight for you. You don't need to carry it anymore. Let me carry this weight for you. And that's what we need to do. Which of you, if you've seen your children walking around, and I know our kids go to school nowadays with so many books. I remember when the two girls were going to school, their bags weighed a ton. And I knew there was only so far I could bring their bags for them. That eventually when they walked through the school doors, they had to bring them themselves. But I tell you, if I could have carried their bags around for them every day, I'd have carried them around from classroom to classroom because they were too heavy for them to bear. Which of us wouldn't do the same for our own kids? Why would we allow our kids to carry a weight that they just can't carry when we could carry it for them? And that's what Jesus did for us, amen? He doesn't want us to be weighed down by sickness and diseases, amen? The Word of God says that He bore them in His own body. You don't need to carry them anymore. Amen? So we need to offload those things. Leave them back to Jesus. Here, take them. He said He bore them anyway. Have them. Keep them. Amen? Amen. One of the attributes of Jesus is He is healing. Give it to Him. Let Him carry the weight that you just can't carry. Amen? When people came to Jesus to be healed, whether it was the three lepers or the blind men, the lame or the sick, there wasn't one of them looking for provision. Amen? They didn't come looking for Jesus with their hand out. They came looking for Jesus for healing. Amen? What would it be like for these blind men hearing that Jesus was a healer? And if they had just said, well, He must have money then. Let's see if we can get some money out of Him. They didn't. They went to Jesus to receive healing. Amen? Because they knew that He was a healer. They were looking to connect with Jehovah Rapha, the healer. Here's a silly question. Needs to be answered, though. You know, that people say, that's a silly question. Well, it needs to be answered. Silly questions need to be answered, too. What do you go to the bank machine for?
Money.
Money. Amen. At least one person in there goes for money. Praise God. You don't have to change your PIN that often. Amen. You go to the bank machine for money. Amen? You go to the bank machine with your bank card and you put it in the slot there and you put in your number, making sure there's no one looking at you. Or if it's me, I wiggle the things around because these scammers, they can put, you know, anyway, I check everything. And if you're like me, then you have four numbers, okay? If you're like me, I'm tapping about eight times all around. All in the vicinity. Then I hit one of the numbers. And I tap another little bit. And then I put another number. Amen? I don't want anyone to be able to look over my shoulder and see my pain. But what I go to the bank, I put in my machine. I eventually get in my number. And then I put in what money that I want to receive out. 20 euros, 50 euros, or whatever it has in it. And then, like magic, it slips me out the money. I have never seen one person at a bank machine yet shocked to see money coming out of a bank machine. I've never seen anyone turning around with money in their hands and say, look at what it gave me. Why? Because that's what they went there for in the first place. Does anybody here in church today know how a bank machine works? I mean the mechanics of the thing. I don't think we do. None of us do. But every one of us, when we walk up to this machine, now we don't know how it works. When we put our PIN numbers in and select the amount of money we want, every one of us are not shocked when money comes out. And we take the money, we put it in our pocket, and we never think any more about it. Amen? Because why? Because you expected it, didn't you? That's what you expected. That's why you went to that machine in the first place. Amen? You went to the machine to get money in the first place. It's the same as in restaurants nowadays. You go into a restaurant nowadays, and when you order your meal, a lot of them will just give you an empty cup. And with the empty cup, they'll say the fountains are there at the back. So it's your job now to go and fill your own drink. So with this empty cup, you go to the fountain, and there's probably four or five choices on the fountain. There's Coke, and there's Sprite, and Fanta, and whatever else. I don't know, Dr. Pepper, maybe if you're lucky, or I don't know, maybe water, or whatever. And every time you go to that machine, and you put your cup down, and you press the Coke button, what do you expect to get? You expect to get Coke, at least some of us do. Every time you press that Coke button, Coke comes out. Now, if you wanted Fanta one day, just you want a Fanta one day, and you go to that machine, you put the cup down, and you press the what button? Coke button? You press the Fanta button, don't you? Why? Because that's what you wanted, yeah? You wanted Fanta. So if you want Fanta, you don't press the Sprite button. No, you don't press the Dr. Pepper button either. Because you'll get what you press, amen? How come we put so much trust in these machines to give you exactly what you order every time, even though these machines are made by humans, they're filled by humans, and they're maintained by humans. But I guarantee you, next time you're at one of those machines, if you press the call button and you get Sprite, you will be shocked. Every time you expect to get what you ask for. When it comes to God, when we bring His promises to God, and especially as we're talking today about healing, if He's promised you healing, then that's what you need to expect. Amen? We need to bring our expectation levels up of God from here to beyond the ceiling. Amen? We trust in bank machines. We never dreamed that if we put in 20, that it's going to throw out 50. We never dream if we press the Coke button that it's going to give us Fanta. We expect to get off these things 100% of the time. So why then, when it comes to the promises of God, and especially with healing, do we not expect to get what God promised He'd give us? Amen? Matthew chapter 7 and verse 9. It says, which one of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, being evil, as in compared to God, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? I mean, that should be enough. Right there. If any of your children today, when you go home and you make your dinner, and they look for food, there's not one of you who's going to put something poisonous down in front of them. You're not one of you is going to give them something that could hurt them. Amen? There's not one of you that even though compared to God, we're evil. And I have no problem with that. We know how to give good gifts to our kids. How much more does God, who created us, amen? How much more does He want to give good gifts to those people who trust in Him and believe in Him and love Him? Amen? How much more faith should we have in the promises of God that were paid for and administered by the blood of Jesus Christ? Amen? Jesus is our Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. There's no wiggle room in that, amen? That is solid. Amen? God first revealed Himself as Jehovah Rapha to the Israelites shortly after their exodus from Egypt. After 3 days of wandering in the desert, the Israelites desperately needed some fresh water. Then they discovered a river. But unfortunately, this river they discovered, it wasn't fresh water. It was bitter, unfit for them to drink. So God instructed Moses to throw in a piece of wood into the water, and God divinely cleansed the waters and made them drinkable. Following this miracle, God declared Himself to be Jehovah Rapha to His people by proclaiming in Exodus 15:26, and He said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all of His statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Or I am Jehovah Rapha. I am your God, your healer. Our God is a God of His word, isn't He? He is. He's a God of His word. Because if He is not, then what's this all about? If our God is not a God of His word, what's this all about? Do you know if God doesn't stand over His word to heal, then none of this is valid? Amen? Because if He doesn't stand over His word to heal, then He is not an honest God. And if He is not honest and fair in all of His word, in one of His word, then He's not honest in all of His word. Amen? Amen. When you read the word of God and you see promises there in the word of God, from God, God said He'd stand over not 99% of them. He said He'd stand over them all. That's what separates us from God. Because as much and all as I might promise you to do something, there will be that at least 1% of the time where I will fail. God never fails, amen? He can be trusted in His word, amen? He is our Jehovah Rapha, amen? In Hebrew, Jehovah Rapha means to heal, to restore, to cure, to mend, and repair. God will heal you when you need healing. God will restore you when you need restoring. He'll cure you when you need curing. And He will mend you when you need mending. Amen? God will repair everything, every issue that you ever go through. Amen? Anybody ever watched that repair shop? Honestly, I've only ever watched a couple of episodes of it. But I know in the repair shop, people bring in items, antiques, hundreds of years old sometimes, that are, let's say, a little bit worse for the wear. I seen it one night where this guy brought in a wallet from, I think, World War I. Maybe their grandfather had it during World War I. And this wallet, this leather wallet, it was in tatters. I mean, tatters. The seams were completely gone. It was completely worn. It was, for me, it was junk. But it meant something to this person. So they brought it into the expert, into the repair shop. And they, over the period of a few weeks, they worked on it. Worked hard on it. And a few weeks' time, when the person came back that had brought it in and they were presented with this restored wallet, it was like pristine. It was like it was when it was made. Now, if we can trust people who work in a repair shop to repair the things that are valuable to us, how much more should we be able to trust our God to repair us when we're not all in one piece, when we're a little bit worse for the wear? How much more should we be able to trust the Maker to be able to restore us back to health when we're not in health? Amen? These people in this TV show, they didn't make the item. They're just restoring it best they can. Our God made every one of us, amen? He knows every inch of our bodies. He has the hairs on our head counted, amen? And I won't say any more than that, amen? God is faithful. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Jesus went around manifesting Jehovah Rapha to everyone. And that word there is so important. To everyone who came to him. Not just some, to everyone who came to him. We said last week that Jesus was God incarnate. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in Christ lives the fullness of God in human body." Jesus was Jehovah Rapha then, and he is Jehovah Rapha today, the Lord who heals you. Matthew 9 and verse 2 says, "And the multitudes followed him, and he healed them there." Why did the multitudes follow Jesus? Because they saw him as Jehovah Rapha, and they wanted to connect with him. Amen? They wanted to connect with him. They saw that this guy, everywhere he went, he was healing people. And they wanted to connect with that. Amen? They wanted a piece of that. Mark chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, "Wherever he entered into villages, cities, and the country, they laid their sick in the marketplace and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well." Do you know, as Jesus went around, it didn't require Jesus to come and lay hands on people, specifically speak a prayer over people. It didn't require Jesus to even interact with that person. When people reached out in faith to Jesus, and if that faith was that even if his shadow should come over us, that they would be healed. Even if I was to touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. They were reaching out in faith, connecting with Jehovah Rapha. Speaking about touching the hem of his clothes, Mark 5:27, talking about the woman with the issue of blood. It says, when she heard about Jesus, what did she hear about Jesus? Did she hear that Jesus was a guy who was going around blessing people? She heard that Jesus was someone that was going around manifesting Jehovah Rapha, that he was the healer. What motivated that woman to leave her house that day on pain of being killed for being unclean and out in public, what motivated her to do that is why she wanted to connect with Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I can only touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she had been freed from her suffering. When the woman with the issue of blood reached out and touched the corner of Jesus' clothes, she didn't immediately receive all of the money that she had given to all of the different doctors down through the years. She wasn't financially blessed. She didn't, when she touched the hem of Jesus' clothes, she didn't automatically have her relationship with her neighbor that she didn't talk with for the last 10 years fixed. Amen? When she reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she wasn't immediately delivered from the demons that she had in her body. No. Because it wasn't that attribute of Jesus that she was reaching out to connect with. Amen? She was reaching out to connect with Jehovah Rapha, the healer. Amen? She didn't need finances. She didn't need deliverance. She probably got on with her neighbor. I don't know. But she reached out to connect with that Jesus. Amen? Like when I go into my phone book, I don't ring the plumber if I'm wanting the painting job done. Amen? I connect with the plumber. And she connected with the healer that day. Amen? Amen? That is good, Angela. Praise God. That's God. Amen? What she needed was she needed healing. Amen? But I know what you're thinking. That's okay in Jesus' day. Because there's a lot of people teach nowadays that healing and all of the miracles of God, oh, they passed away with Jesus. Or some people believe that they passed away with the apostles. Nah. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? What he did 2,000 years ago, he will still do today. Amen? Amen? When Jesus was gone, let's look at this one in Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Talking about Peter and John, when they went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, about 3 p.m. in the evening. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried and laid there by the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple. So after the resurrection of Jesus, Peter and John, they continued to go up to the temple at the hour of prayer, 3 p.m. Why, you ask? Well, Jesus never told them not to. Amen? Jesus never told them not to. In fact, Jesus himself went to the temple all the time when he was in Jerusalem. Amen? He preached many of his messages there at the temple. You know why he did that? Because that's where people were. Jesus went to where the people were. Amen? There's no point in going off by the river or going off out into the wilderness all the time. You need to go where the people are. Amen? So Peter and John were not going up to the temple to observe the law. They were going up to the temple to have an opportunity to tell people about salvation in the name of Jesus. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 5:17, he said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Amen? So Jesus didn't come to destroy, but he came to fulfill the law, meaning that those still observing the law needed to be told that Jesus has fulfilled the law. Amen? So Peter and John, they were this day, and they were interrupted by this lame beggar. Verse 2 tells us that he was laid there daily by the gate in the temple, which was called Beautiful. Every day this man's family would get him up. They'd get him dressed. They'd prepare him. And when they had him prepared, they would carry him to the gate of the temple called Beautiful to lay him down there to do the only thing that he could do for a living, and that was to beg people as they entered the temple for alms every day. Anybody here make an educated guess at the amount of times that Jesus entered the temple in Jerusalem during his three-year ministry? Well, in all four Gospels, it's recorded that Jesus visited Jerusalem at least seven times. See, most of Jesus' ministry was in Judea, way up the road. So in his ministry, it's recorded that he visited Jerusalem at least seven times. So if he went to the temple at least three times during those seven visits, Jesus would have visited the temple at least 21 times. Now, if that lame man was laid beside the gate Beautiful daily, how many times would you say Jesus probably walked by this guy? At least 21 times. And Jesus didn't heal him. Why? Well, it wasn't his one day. Amen? Wasn't his one day. That wasn't his one day. His one day came after the resurrection of Jesus. Amen? It could have been just like the thief on the cross, hanging on that cross. His one day came just before his last breaths. Amen. Let's keep believing God, church, for the one day, for the loved ones in our lives that haven't yet came to faith in Jesus. Amen. Let's keep trusting God. That one day will come not in our time. It'll come in God's time. Amen? 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 So this lame man was laid there every day by the gate beautiful to ask money. And verse 3 says, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now I'm sure this as well wasn't the first time that Peter and John had encountered this man. If Peter and John was with Jesus every time during Jesus' ministry when he went into the temple, well then it's likely that these guys had passed this man many, many times as well. But this was the first time that Peter and John passed this guy with a revelation of who Jehovah Rapha was in Jesus. Amen? Amen? And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, so that he, leaping up, stood and walking and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What name? Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, the God who restores, the God who cures, mends, and repairs. When that lame beggar connected with Peter and John, he was looking to receive a financial gift, wasn't he? But Peter said, if you're looking for money off us, he said, we don't have any. But he said, what we do have is actually much more valuable than finances. Amen? It's much more valuable. It's actually not even what you are looking for. So if you're looking for money, we don't have any. But here, he said, take this instead. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What name? Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Amen? You know what that was like? It was like you have this huge need. Huge need. And you ask me for help. And I see your need. Maybe it was a need for a push bike. And I see you have a need of a push bike. And instead of giving you a push bike, I give you a Ferrari. Or you come to me and you ask me for 10 cents. And instead of me giving you 10 cents, I give you a million. Amen? That's the difference between our short-term wants and our long-term needs. Amen? God is not obligated to take care of our wants, but he said he would take care of all of our needs. The lame beggar that day, he wanted money, but God gave him healing. But that's another message entirely. Jesus is our Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. And when we come to him, we need to know and believe and trust in that part of his character. Amen? And receive from it.